Good evening. I'd like to share with you a bit about some of the contributions that have been made. We Mennonites are really cautious about recognizing donors. In our culture, I shouldn't just make it a cultural thing, some of us take it pretty seriously about not our right hand not knowing what the left hand does. And so we're pretty reserved sometimes in having our name put on something. Now, somewhere in South Hutch, there is a brick in a sidewalk or a patio that has Twyla and my name on it. We don't have, it happens that we made a certain commitment at about the right time and place for that to happen, but we're not known as the kind of people who are able to get our name put on a lot of contributions, you know? Sometimes we're a little cautious about recognizing people by name, donors by name, because they don't want to be recognized. And then on the other hand, I've served with a board where it was kind of a fine line because some people would be a bit insulted if their name was not, if they were not recognized for their contribution. So we're kind of on the modest side of things. But it's my pleasure this evening to just mention several contributions that have been very important, very significant to the ministry. Let me go on to ramble a bit more and say that I know that probably everyone here has in some way contributed. So it's a little risky to start naming, but I do have a few that we do want to mention. Several years ago, we purchased the house that Paul's live in, and that was we almost felt like we went out on the limb a bit because we don't have an income that we can budget for certain purchases. But to start with, Rock Rentals had this house that seemed just very well suited for the ministry, and I know Shane had to forego some personal financial advantage by selling it to the ministry for a very reasonable price, and so that's where Paul's live now. Well, we had an interest-free loan, and now because of being remembered by several people who have recently left our number, we've been able to pay that back. Lizzie Nisley left us an amount of $36,000, and that was more than we needed to finish paying the house. And there are a number of other things that have just kind of been left undone because some of those things need to wait because of the money it takes. So we're able to finish up some of those projects now. Also, Virginia Cumley left $5,000 for the ministry, and that also is greatly appreciated. In addition, facility-wise, Marvin Mass donated a lot, and for a storage building, and Center Church had a building to give one of the outside classrooms, which had an overhead door put in it and was moved out on that lot. So now Paul has a storage unit that isn't going to go away right away. He can depend on it that he won't have to move things out of a garage and take it somewhere else. So we appreciate that. The youth gave their bit in pouring the concrete and so on. So altogether, you have made life much more pleasant for the board because this stuff is taken care of. Thank you, and blessings to you.
Just a bit of a financial update, some of the things Joe was talking about already. Last fall, we realized we kind of need to get started thinking about getting that loan paid back. We were getting close to the halfway mark of the three-year loan, and we hadn't paid anything on it yet. But I think we started talking about, we kind of started getting plans together last August or September, and decided we made plans for another fish fry, and we're also intentional about letting people know about the need. And the results were really, really amazed us, and we just feel very blessed. Sponsorships actually exceeded the cost of the fish fry by $900, and the fish fry itself brought in a little over $9,800. And then in that time, there were a number of other donations designated for the building fund, for Hands of Christ Building Fund, that totaled nearly $7,900. And then some of those gifts that Joe just mentioned, we used Virginia's entirely for paying off the loan, and we just the last meeting decided to take $13,000 of what Lizzie gave for the building fund as well. So we paid that off this week, and leaves us with a balance that should hopefully help us get a small storage barn for where the house is there for some storage and finish up the cottage, etc. So that feels really good. Also wanted to just touch a little bit on the blessing fund. I think most of you are aware that's something that we do on a regular basis, and while it's not our main focus, it is a regular part of our outreach there. And we were also getting kind of low on that fund last fall, but then there was a nice donation, I think of $1,000, that came through the offering. And someone that Hands of Christ has helped in the past donated $1,000 as well. And then in December, a local church from the area here gave $1,850 designated for the blessing fund. So that has really been a help to give us a better operating balance there. We do take 10% from the center offerings for that, but that doesn't cover our budget. We budget $500 a month for that, on average. And then just for some interest's sake, to get a picture of how many people that helps, in the last two fiscal quarters, over 6 months from June to November, we averaged 18 people per quarter. So I guess we come out about 6 people a month that get some kind of assistance from the Blessing Fund. So it does bless a lot of people.
I'm going to be talking a little bit about some of the changes that we're looking at in the future for direction. But before I go there, I want to specifically talk a little bit more about the fish fry and the fundraiser there and Nelson Lee's contribution. I guess we're sort of in a vein of thanking those of you that can hear us and also thanking those of you, the people that aren't here anymore. It is difficult. It would be difficult to overemphasize the impact that those fish fry fundraisers have had on the work of Choice Books. Not really that. Getting my hats mixed up here. Hands of Christ is what I'm actually talking about tonight. It is difficult to overemphasize the impact that has had. Through your generous offerings, we usually are able to reasonably comfortably meet our budget expenses, but for things like paying off housing and extra things. The Fish Fry fundraisers that Nelson and his brothers and the community put on were tremendous. And I also want to specifically recognize Rachel for a lot of the work that she did to pull all that off. So we're very grateful for that. In this last year, we as a leadership team have spent some time thinking about who we are as an organization, where we are, and where we want to go. I was not on the board at the beginning, but I think we're all kind of on the same page that the original vision for the work of Hands of Christ was that we start with practical acts of service that open the door to relationships that hopefully lead to discipleship. And so we've been doing this work in the community for a while now, and different people have moved along that continuum, and in some ways the organization has moved along the continuum that we started doing projects for people, we became friends with them, and we had relationship and moved toward discipleship. So we have a number of people that we're in relationship with, and there are still more people that we're doing projects for. And the practical acts of service were the easiest things for Paul to delegate. You know, it is pretty easy to explain that what we need here is a wheelchair ramp, and there is no wheelchair ramp here. So let's get it done. So many of you were involved in that. We've had just a tremendous group of volunteers that have done those projects that have opened the doors to relationship. As we developed a framework for these things, more people from our church, from neighboring churches, from around the community, and even from out of the state were interested in being a part of that. So I think we've had a youth group from Pennsylvania that came in and worked for a while. I know the youth mission trip has done a lot of, the center youth mission trip has done a lot of work here. Different youth groups from area churches did projects. And so we had a lot of feeding in on the practical acts of service. And I want to change the imagery a little bit from a continuum that balances from practical acts of service to relationship to discipleship. And I want you to picture with me a funnel that kind of illustrated what tended to happen. So at the very top of the funnel, we have lots of practical acts of service. And then moving down a little bit, we lost a few people, both in terms of volunteers and some of our connections, because some people just wanted the wheelchair ramp. They didn't actually want relationship, and that was fine. We still helped them. But moving down the funnel a little bit, we got to relationship. We lost a few people along the way. Moving down a little bit more, we got to discipleship. Had some fewer volunteers that were interested in being directly involved in that, and fewer people of our contacts that made it that far. Because he thrives on relationship and discipleship, it was easy for Paul to assume more of the responsibility for these people in the relationship and the discipleship sectors than the practical act of service. So you can see as the funnel narrows, eventually it started feeling a little bit like Paul was kind of standing at the bottom there, and things just kind of kept dribbling. We kept filling it at the top, and people, and I don't like to illustrate people as dribbling out of a funnel, but we just had a lot of relationships, and sometimes very intense relationships, that Paul ended up being primarily responsible for. And he was getting stretched very thin. A number of months ago, he asked the board to consider adding someone else in a part-time role that he could work with and have handled some of the project coordination things. We were a little uncomfortable with adding somebody that it felt like would only increase the capacity at the top of the funnel without addressing what things looked like farther down. As a board, we met with Jim Unruh. Many of you know Jim. He has a heart for bringing people to a better place. He's the, I believe, the county coordinator, and you can help me here, Angela, county coordinator for Bridges of Hope. I don't know what his official title is. Circles of Hope, sorry. Bridges Out of Poverty, I believe. So he was a good sounding board for us as we processed how we should be seeing these things as an organization. And he had some very wise words for us. He said, in crisis response work, in meeting needs, what you need, you don't need very many people, but you need a lot of money. And we felt like we had enough money and a lot of people. So we felt like we were good there. He said, when you move to heart and relationship needs, you don't need much money, but you need a lot of people. And that really resonated with the tension we were feeling with all of the good stuff that was happening. And we felt like maybe we weren't always moving along the continuum very well with individual people. We felt like that was the core of the issue, that Paul was trying to be too many things to too many people. And if we added more people and relationships coming in at the top of the funnel, we had to have a plan for spreading the bottom of that funnel. Rather than telling Paul to simply do less and leave more people hanging, we felt like we could leverage Paul's heart and his best gifts by having him take on less of a crisis response role and adopt more of a training and advising role for our volunteers in hopes that some of them could continue walking with people along that continuum of practical acts of service, relationship, and discipleship. Once we settled on how we were going to address the bottom end of the funnel, we agreed that it was necessary to have someone else work with Paul to do some of the project coordination things. And Paul will be talking a little bit more about that later, but just wanted to kind of set the stage here for some of the things that Paul will be addressing for how we see the focus of what Paul doing. We see the focus of Paul's work changing a little bit, and it will not be as of tomorrow morning. Paul is all of a sudden doing something different. We're not swinging the pendulum quickly. We're moving it in that direction. So it's brand new territory. We will continue to feel our way through this and see how it works. As the organization grows and as the work grows, our sphere of influence continues to grow. We don't want to tell people they can't help do the work in Hutchinson. There are some realities that we wrestle with, though, that currently most of the funding and all of the governance for the work of Hands of Christ comes from Center. And that was by design, that it was started as a work and arm of Center Church. But there are lots of other people that want to be a part of that work. Area churches, groups from out of the community. And we're thoughtful about how to continue growing in sustainable ways that don't stifle the vision and work of a larger group, but are workable in our budget and organizational environment. In Hutch, there is enough work for organizations 10 times our size, and that is being very conservative. We don't necessarily want to continue to expand without having some idea of how that fits with your vision for the work, the size, and the scope of what you want Hands of Christ to be. So this is kind of the direction that we're moving. There's a lot of murky water between here and where we think we are ending up. So we invite you to walk with us, give input, and give guidance and direction as we move in that direction. Does anybody have quick questions before I turn the time over to Paul and let him do a little more reporting as well as fleshing out some of these things a little more? Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Shane, and the rest of the board members. It's always a privilege for me to talk about Hands of Christ, because it's your work, and I think it's very important that at least once a year, or maybe more often, we pause and remember whose work it is. First of all, it's God's work, right? And you probably have heard this before, but I just want to repeat it. Hudson Taylor said, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. That's the promise. So first of all, it needs to be God's work, but he has given us the stewardship, the responsibility to administer it. And I just want to, again, you know, it's just such a privilege to work with all of you. I have not met any of, you know, I haven't gotten a mean word from any of you yet. And maybe you felt like it sometimes, but I never got it. So I appreciate that. You've always been very gracious if you couldn't help. And I've always, I just appreciate the attitude. And it's a pleasure, and we love to work with you. And as we get older and the longer we are in this work, the more we sense just how really dependent we are on the Lord, on his Spirit, and his guidance, and on you as a congregation. You know, we know that we can do a lot of activities, but unless the Lord directs, unless he empowers, unless he speaks to the people's heart, it won't amount. It'll be good works, but that's all the further it will go. And remember our mission statement and the progression that Brother Shane shared, and that we keep on emphasizing, we're not building wheelchair ramps just for the sake of building wheelchair ramps. And sometimes that's all we do, but everything that we do in the name of Christ, we believe Christ can work deeper than that. And so, you know, we see we have a lot of things to celebrate about this evening, the gifts that have been given, and the joy we have of working together. And I wish I could tell the stories for the Blessed Family. Here again, some of the people, you know, are just doing the system, you know, and they're kind of in that entitlement stage. We try not to help too many people too very often. But then there's others that have just found themselves in a real squeeze, and they're so thankful that their electricity isn't turned off, that they're able, that we've been able to help pay rent or deposit on a new place. And the way that usually happens is not, usually the most we give is like $100. And so they go down the line, people go down the line and call the churches in Hutchinson. And each one gives about a $50 or $100 until they have what they need. You know, so if you have a payment agreement with Westar Energy, you know how that works. So you can't make your payment. You've used your heaters during the winter because your furnace didn't work. So what do you think happens with your electric bill? You might have a $500 electric bill all at once, and you have a low income. So they say, well, you can set up a payment agreement. So let's say $600. So you divide $600 by 12, that's $50. So every month you pay your regular month's bill plus 50. So that's good. But if 1 month you don't make that, you're late with it, then let's say you've got, in 2 months you paid $50, so you're down to $500, whatever, then you all at once you have $500 or $600 to pay for electric bill. Where's the money going to come from? It's those types of things that people struggle with, sometimes $1,000. I would like to just mention Nelson's Fish Fry. Just talked to Janice recently, and for those who don't know, Janice, Nelson's wife, is my niece. And she said, you know, their daughter said, the fish fry will continue. So they just had their heart in it, but they would like to do it in the spring, and would probably do it next spring, not forego this spring. I hadn't told the board that yet. And I might do a little repeating here. I had a list of names too, and then of the thank, and then my wife said, well, the Bible says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand does. So I'm not going to risk. I'm going to name a few people. So I see Ken Miller here. So I'm going to name him because I invited him special to come. He's just been a faithful volunteer the last year or so, and we deeply appreciate it. And especially another one I'd like to especially thank is... is Julian. He's, I don't know if you knew that he's the liaison, is that the right way to say it? Between the church and Hands of Christ. So we try to meet together every few weeks. And for the Sunday afternoon service, Oren is that go-between person. And I know that takes a lot of effort, and we really do appreciate it. And the most important one I'm going to name is a person by the name of Edith. She is just so, I'm so blessed to have her. What I'm so blessed is how God gifts her with compassion for certain people. And she's sensitive, and she notices when God gives that compassion to other people. She said, you know, God gave her, has given her a real compassion for that person. And you start looking at that, and that's right. You know, you feel drawn to certain people. And isn't that wonderful how God works, lays certain people on our hearts and on our minds? So the mission statement, Hands of Christ Ministries, serves the Hutchinson community through practical acts of service, friendship, and discipleship. And we're going to, Lord willing, talk about that progression a little later on. But just remember that. And the ministry operates under the leadership of Center Amish Mennonite Church to provide its members opportunities to regularly serve the local community in the name of Christ. And I thought we might eventually have to change that to provide its members and other people. But so... we were present when we formulated that, and I just wanted to bring us back. Sometimes it helps to bring back, to remind us of the local, of the original vision. And if I have it right, David, you can correct me, but if I have it right, this thing was birthed by after-service discussions and saying, well, we as a church, we don't do anything in Hutchinson. We don't have ownership of any ministry here. We help other ministries, but we don't have ownership of any ministries. And Ellis Miller was here on furlough, and he said, well, I've written a paper how that could work. And that was the basis of Hands of Christ. And so that it is. You say, okay, we've got all these missionaries here. So instead of just putting the burden on one person, all of you missionaries get to participate in reaching out in Hands of Christ. And that has been a truly a blessing to behold and participate in that. I don't have a lot of pictures, just wanted a little bit of the high points of changes. So I don't know, do we need the lights or not? Or is that, okay. Well, you know, that's our house. It's also the office. And Brother Joe and Marvin Yudsi got a new steps there and new rails. And now because of the contributions, there will be new rails put around the porch. We have some young children there sometimes, Sunday afternoons. And so... We're looking forward to that. Just a minute. Do you see that little storage building in the back there? You know, I'm not tall, But I have threatened to bill Hands of Christ for the chiropractor treatments I have to take because of bumping my head. So we're really looking forward to a sturdy built barn back there. This is the sign there. This is the Sunday afternoon, you know, and I think most of you know that it's going, but it's something that you might kind of forget. But every Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock, there is a group of us getting together in our house. So the ones you will recognize would be Lois Mast and Benji and Janae Miller and Emily, James, and Oren was there this past Sunday, and Heidi was a very active part of that group. And so that's kind of the nucleus. And so just do really pray for that group. There was another lady there. She had left already. And all these people, you know, have a lot of challenges. And you know, we always struggle between, you know, when I admit, when we considered starting, and it was not just our idea, it was Rise. Heidi had a real heart for the people in poverty in town. And so I thought, well, you know, several hours in the afternoon, that shouldn't be too bad. And what I didn't realize, you know, you can't just say, be warmed and filled, right? And I'm going to go on with life now, and you go on with your life. Yet you also can't solve all their problems. And so the struggle between, they assuming responsibility, and yet being people who care for each other and for them and pointing them most of all to Christ has really been, is a challenge. James and Benji and I take turns leading the studies. And it's been a real blessing, but it is it requires energy. So one thing we're really thankful for is the push ahead with the cottage this past summer by the youth group. And the mission work, by the mission week. And the cottage now, well, these are just a few shots. I like some of that gear, but so that's how it is now. The carpet's coming in on Friday, Lord willing. It's the way it looks inside. James finishing, I think he's almost completely finished on the inside, and just cleaning up and the carpet. So we're getting really excited about that. The Sunday, and what's the cottage for? The Sunday afternoon study will meet there, and it is we have to come up with some formal policy and so forth, but it is, what it is for is the church's ministry in town. And it could also be used by Rise people eventually. Someone wants to have a little tea party, or some of you want to meet with some of your people in town. We'll see how the Lord leads. And originally I maybe thought of having my office there, but I prefer to have it in the house with my assistant. So, and that's the storage unit. And I confess, I was not a very good, I don't know, it's full already. And so we helped a lady empty her house, and she really didn't have any place to put it. And so half of that room is there, and the other half is donations we've had, and once the cottage is finished, we can give it further to others, what we don't use there. I just thought I'd put in a few snapshots for Frank. And so we went to Casper, Wyoming for his baptism. And we were impressed by the program he's in. And it's, I don't have a picture of the main building where the rescue mission is, but it's a homeless shelter and a discipleship program. So from morning until evening, classes, work project, he gets up at 4:30 and prepares food for 70 to 80 people. And they don't turn people away when it's cold. He said there's people lying on the halls on mats in cold weather. And if people mess up and start using drugs again or get back into alcohol, they're still allowed to come back, but they have to start at the bottom in the dormitory. And then they go up. And this is where Frank is staying now. It's a nice place. There's a lot of prayer concerns yet, but we rejoice in what God is doing and just pray that God will continue. So that's his teacher, the program director, and his counselor. And these people are all people that have been through the program. You know, he's a former biker. And that was at his baptism. And then we went out for ice cream afterwards. So he would love to hear from you. And I want to get an address there. He misses you. And like I said, we just pray that once he comes out, I think his first graduation is in March. Then there's another phase of 4 months. So there's an example of the progression. You know, practical deeds of service. Well, that started via RISE. Their children were going to RISE Church. They needed help with rent or something like that. And that's where the friendship started. And then the discipleship. It's been a long road. And I think if I have a prayer request for myself, is that I can, without question, believe that the Bible means what it says, that God's word will not return void. And you know, sometimes I start questioning that, but I know it's true. And God works in ways we just don't see, and that's wonderful. Well, I just wanted to, you know, but the work still continues. There's a few, you know, practical deeds of service, and here's a little miracle that happened, I think. Willard Mass and Josh, they put, about 4 or 5 years ago, they built a small ramp. And so this request came for a ramp, and it was back in that same area. And I looked down the street, oh, there's a ramp that Josh and Willard built. No, they're not using it anymore. Would you like to use it? Yeah. Well, so Michael Hirschberger and William Hirschberger and Loyal came and lifted it up with the Bobcat, moved it over several houses, and reinstalled it. Isn't that neat? And that's not a good picture, but I just wanted to bring attention to it. This Irma Harris, Ollie knows her, William knows her, Sam knows her, Ken knows her, and Hands of Christ has served her a lot, and we helped empty her house, and different ones of you helped. And her furniture is in the storage building, and it's the house where Arthur's live in. So it was a lot of people involved with that process, and the process is not finished. And do really continue praying for her, because her husband's up in Kansas City with a daughter. She's here trying to decide where to go to, and just really a difficult time. Okay. You can shut it off now. I'd like to tell a few stories tonight. And all of us have stories, and you have stories, how God works through you. And when I think of Hands of Christ, I want to be careful. You know, we don't think Hands of Christ is the only way you can serve God. But I hope that the Hands of Christ ministries has encouraged us in other areas of outreach and made us aware of why we're here for. And I think we can just, I'm just so thankful that God has given this ministry to us. Um, And you know, the work of the kingdom often functions different than we believe. But I would just like to give a few examples. So Dorothy Norton, I don't know, you probably didn't know her name, but different ones if you have mowed our lawn. We've cleaned our lawn. Betty's room, cleaned her lawn, raked her lawn. And I would only talk to her when she wanted something done. And a little low functioning mentally. But so she, then a few months ago, she said, "Do you know anyone that has a car? Keep your eyes open for a car." And I said I would. But then about 2 weeks ago, she called and says, "You know, I am in intensive care." Now, why would this lady that I very seldom talk to call me from intensive care? So what influence did those practical deeds of service have for her? You get the picture? She trusted. She started trusting us. She saw that we kept coming. And so to whom did she turn when she had some other needs? That's what we're talking about. Josephine, you've heard that story, but that's an excellent example. The one who died soon after Thanksgiving. I don't know how many of you worked there. Cleaned our house. And the group from Pennsylvania put up new siding, painted, visited her. And so on her table, I don't know if it's there now, but the first summer in 2010, one Sunday evening, we distributed leaflets about our work in the southern part of town. And there on her table last fall was still that piece of paper. And I just thought, and I believe in her case, it made an eternity of difference. I really believe that she is with the Lord today, and I really believe she would not admit. Is that worth it? I say amen. Just singing at the senior, DeLaw Smith Senior Center this over Christmas, request to do that. I mean, do you know what I mean, the DeLaw Smith Senior Center? Anyway, so we were invited there, and how did that come about? It was several of you sisters stayed with Terry McLaughlin's mother, and he teaches there, and he got a group to come there. And they were so enthused, now they want a group to come at Easter to sing. And they wanted to advertise it. Well, the story. Stories continually, how God works. And now I'm going to talk about another lady tonight. And I want to be very careful how I say this. And I'm not going to use her real name. And some of you know her, know of this. But I asked David if it's all right, and we felt that it would be, because there's a few reasons. One reason is that you realize how some people live in modern America, right among us. And the other one is also to show the progression of practical deeds of service, friendship, and discipleship. So a number of our mowing jobs come when people don't get their grass cut and the city refers them to an organization like ours. So you've cut her grass too, different ones of you. And she had a sweet lady, a lovable lady, and I'm going to call her Sally. She would call, nice telephone manners, very coherent, but she has a physical disability. And so I never thought much about it. Mode didn't talk to her. A few times I went up to the door and she opened the door a crack. But then I also smelled, uh-oh, things are not all good here. One evening, we got a call from an employee at Dillon's on North Main and said she wanted him to call us that she was in the emergency room. And so why did she want him to call us? We barely knew her. We went to the emergency room, and there we saw evidence of self-neglect. And so the friendship grew, and the concerns grew. We saw things were not good in that house, that she would not let us in. We started bringing groceries to her. She used to take a three-wheel bicycle. She would crawl back to her garage about 50 feet away, get on her bike, and go do her shopping. She couldn't do that anymore. She'd call the grocery store. We would go get the groceries, bring it back. She'd pay for them usually. But that, then one time, she didn't call for a while. So you thought, well, here's this lady alone. Something could happen to her and no one would know for quite a while. So we called her, she didn't answer. We went to the house, everything was dark. Mail was in the mailbox. So we called the police. Police called the landlord. The landlord and the police walked through the house. They said it's one of the worst houses they've ever seen. And Oren and David have seen the house. And there's just one word, horrific. So you visualize 3 years approximately, no running water. She just wanted to keep the landlord away. So she didn't call the landlord. So she got a neighbor to turn off the water. The neighbor helped her with some of his water. So 3 years and 22 cats. How do you think it looked in that house? And it was when you saw, how could a person degrade to something like that? She was a person like we are, sweet as could be. And she just cried and said, I didn't want to become like this. Probably through depression. Her mother died. Things spiraled down. One cat, withdrawal, another cat. And she would buy expensive cat food. It was her family, her kids, the only thing she had. She had one friend in Kansas City. Their mothers were close, and she's assuming responsibility. So, practical needs of service, mowing the lawn, mundane. Friendship, discipleship, redemption. So Brother Oren, call him, landlord and his son, the lady from Kansas City. We did an initial cleaning. And the other reason for sharing this is in tribute to my board. It's the first time that the board has been so proactive. So I was telling the board what we were doing, and we had planned a big cleanup. You know, we did an initial cleanup, so we had a little space to feed so that there was a volunteer feeding the cats until they could find homes for them. And then we were going to have a big cleanup. And my board said, I'm not allowed to help. It's the first time they ever did that. So they said, that's the landlord's responsibility. We can help her, but not cleaning up the whole house. But what I want to emphasize is, okay, when you talk about that many cats, we as from farming background, you know, I heard these solutions, antifreeze, pellet gun, you know, that's what we would kind of tend to think of. But for this lady, this was the only family she had. She was down in Wichita. What would happen with her kids? And fortunately, the lady in Kansas City, so she knew of a place in Wichita that don't put animals down. They find foster homes for them. And because David Yoder has a respect for people, he was willing to feed those cats until they were all gone. The volunteer that was going to do it somehow backed out. So, and you can ask David about the rodeo of catching the cats. And well, I think Sturdy Bill furnished the welding gloves, right? And I just got such a charge when I talked to David, and he said, you know, he went online and he found a net, you know, to net the worst one, because she would literally jump over the people and up across the ceiling and down. It just almost impossible to catch. And so that's the redemption side. You know, you see that? You know, the practical side says nothing worth. And Hands of Christ and the Adult Protective Services are paying for a storage unit for several months. You know, like David said, nothing in there we would lift a finger to save. But for her, it's important. So it's not about things, but it's about the dignity and the worth of every person. And that's just something I like to emphasize tonight. What Jesus said, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. We're serving him. And if we disrespect people, we're disrespecting him. And that was such a blessing to me to see, you know, there's how the kingdom of God works. And I just started thinking. So the board and Oren and David, but all those of you who helped mow, and those who helped clean after the ice storm, and the Adult Protective Services, the rental inspector at City Hall, the policemen, all have been affected by what happened there. And you pray and trust that the Lord can be glorified through that. I'm sorry. I just want to touch on what Shane said. I'm at the same age that President Trump is, 70. And we can from our hearts say that we enjoy the work here, and we love working with you and with our friends in town. And at the same time, we do feel ourselves getting older, which brings its own challenges. And as Shane said, we're working towards making changes. And believe me, it is an uncharted course with a lot of unanswered questions. But I have the confidence that with all of us working together, we can find God's direction. I feel a lot more comfortable with sitting down on a one-to-one out in town than the thought of teaching how to. I don't feel I know how to. But here again, we trust God to show the way. And we completely support what the board has decided. And I just want to ask, you know, it's your work. In all indications, we feel God's continuing to call us to go ahead with the work. But somebody has to do it. So is he calling you to step up and say, yeah, I'm willing to help coordinate some of the projects? Maybe starting of the day a week, maybe 2 days, see how the Lord leads. It would be a growing into how we would share the responsibilities. And so pray about that really seriously, because it needs to happen. And I don't want to because there's just been some things happening. You know, I think it's David that said, sometimes we kind of take our, we forget that we're mortal beings, you know? Then all at once something happens that says, hey, this is real. I had a little episode in Colorado, and it say, you know, we need to pay attention. We're not going to be here forever, and we are getting older, and we're getting feebler, and it's always that balance between, you know, quitting before, you know, getting lazy. On the other hand, it just wearing out our welcome by continuing. But I trust the board that they will guide, they can always fire, and they, and that they will, I promise not to rebel. And I think the 11th commandment, isn't that in the Bible where it says that once you're 70, that parents should obey their children? So we trust that our children will also, family will help us in the way. But we just thank you so much for your kindness. And most of all, we thank the Lord for his gracious kindness and his leading. So I give that back to you, Brother Titus.